In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Some of John the Baptist's disciples came to Jesus and asked him, "Who are you? Are you the one? Are you the Messiah that we have been waiting for?" It wasn't the first time that Jesus had been asked this question. It wouldn't be the last either. As a matter of fact, this is the question that Jesus is always being asked. Who are you? Are you the Messiah? In some form or another, people throughout the Gospels are asking Jesus this question. Everyone from Peter to Pilate, everyone wants to know who this man really is. It's the most important question they ask Jesus in the Scriptures. It's the most important question any of us ask Jesus. In fact, it's probably the most important question any of us will ever ask in our lives. Who is this man? Who are you, Jesus? Are you the Messiah? Jesus answers this question in many different ways in the Scriptures. And this time, Jesus tells John's disciples to go and tell John what they see. Tell him that the blind see. Tell him that the lame walk. Tell him that lepers are cleansed. Tell him that the deaf hear and the dead are raised. Tell him that the poor have hope. Tell John what you hear and see. Jesus is telling these people that the evidence for who I am is right in front of your eyes. Elsewhere in Scripture, Jesus says, if you don't believe me, then believe my works. My works testify to who I am. The miracles are right there. Only for some reason, some people can't see them, can't believe them. Some people can't take them in. Well, why can't they take them in? All these little miracles are pointing to the great big miracle of the incarnation right in front of their faces. But when John's disciples ask Jesus who he is, he points them to the little miracles. Maybe Jesus suspects or knows that if people can't accept little miracles, they'll never accept the big one. If they can't accept people being healed, they won't accept the promise of eternal life either. You know, I typically don't like either-or categories, and I don't like separating people into being either this or that, but this is one occasion where I feel compelled to. It seems to me that there are people that believe in miracles and people that don't. Either you believe that God has sovereign power and is active and alive in the world, or you believe that the universe is essentially a machine with every mysterious phenomenon possessing a logical, material explanation. If you believe in miracles, then even the tiniest, most insignificant thing can be proof to you of the presence and of the love of God. And if you don't, well, then even a dead body coming back to life isn't likely to impress you. You will find a way to dismiss it. And if you can't accept the little miracles, you aren't likely to accept the big one. It should come as no surprise, then, that the people that like to dismiss the little miracles that Jesus performs are also typically the ones that end up denying Jesus' resurrection. Because if you can't accept the little miracles, you aren't likely to accept the big one either. But when they asked Jesus who he was, he pointed them first to the little miracles. pay attention to the little miracles, and then you will begin to see the big one. Sometimes I wonder if that's how God's grace works. Maybe God uses little miracles to crack that crusty exterior of ours so that his big miracle can get through. The little drops of grace, the little miracles, are the most important ones to absorb and to pay attention to, because they are what prepare us and allow us to receive the big miracle. As I was reading the passage from Isaiah this week about the desert blossoming and water being upon the dry land and the highway and the desert, I was reminded of our pilgrimage that some members from our parish took to the Holy Land a few years ago. Not the most recent one we took, but the one before that. Well, as tourists are wont to do on these pilgrimages, one day while we were there, we took a drive, took a highway through the desert, actually. We took a drive down to visit the Dead Sea, and then to go and see a mountain fortress that King Herod had built called Masada. Well, if you ever get the chance to go, if you ever get the chance to visit Masada especially, go. It's spectacular. It's amazing. It is this fortress / palace that sits on top of a giant rock right next to the Dead Sea in the middle of the desert. And you can either hike up a trail to get to the top, or you can take a cable car to the top of the mountain. Well, just as our group got off in the cable car on the top of that mountain, something spectacular happened. It started to rain. It started to rain hard, actually. It wasn't the slow, misty, drizzly rain like we have had here all week long. It was a driving rain. Well, we had to scramble to find some protection while we were up there on the top of the mountain and while we were waiting for the next cable car to take us back down the mountain. Well, unfortunately, that year, that group didn't get to see much of Masada because it's just not safe to visit in the rain. So we loaded ourselves back onto the bus and got back on the highway that was headed back to Jerusalem. Well, our tour guide commented as we got back onto the bus that it usually only rains one day a year in that part of the desert. One day a year, and as luck would have it, that was the day that we decided to try to visit. But I experienced and learned something very interesting that day, though. You might think, at least I thought, that the parched and dry land of the desert would suck up moisture like a sponge. You would think that rain would be the one thing that the dirt would want more than anything else, and that it would just suck it up. But that's not what happens. It's funny, but dirt that is not used to water doesn't know what to do with it. Water is, it's so foreign to the dry land of the desert, and rain is so uncommon that when it does rain, when there is water, the land has no idea what to do with it. So the desert soil, it doesn't absorb the water just runs right off of it. If you've ever had a houseplant that you've almost killed by not watering it for very long, and then decided to try and save it by pouring water on it, you probably will know what I'm talking about. Most of the water is going to go right through the pot, or it's going to spill over onto your counter. It doesn't soak it in right away. Dry soil, it can't absorb water quickly. It doesn't know what to do with it, so the water just runs off. Well, on that one day a year, when it decides to rain in the desert, the water doesn't soak into the soil, not much at least. It mostly runs off, and what it does, it creates rivers where there weren't rivers before. It creates streams and waterfalls and flash floods. So that highway in the desert that we were traveling on, headed back to Jerusalem, was quickly becoming flooded and becoming almost impassable in places. Cars had to slow way down and ford their way through water. They weren't sure how deep it was. Obviously, we eventually made it back, but it was slow going at times. It was a fascinating experience to see that. To see dry land all of a sudden turn into this torrential river and floods. Dry land is so unused to water that when it comes, it kind of shrugs it off as if to say, what is this stuff? I don't recognize this stuff. Better dismiss it and let it go. The ground becomes so hardened that it can't absorb what it needs the most, even when it's right there. Little drops of rain, misty rain that goes on for days like we have had this week, that is much better at watering the ground than a great big flood once a year. And maybe it's the same way with us and God's miracles and little graces. If we aren't used to seeing little graces, little miracles in our daily lives, then we aren't likely to recognize the big ones when they come along either. When they hit us, we won't know what to do with them, and we'll just sort of brush them off like dry land and water. Our souls become dry and hardened by not seeing God alive and at work on a daily basis. So when those big miracles come along, the grace just runs off of us. It doesn't seep in because we haven't learned to let it in. Just like the desert soil doesn't know what to do with water when it comes. If you want to know who Jesus is, and as I said, there is no more important question, then maybe start with the little miracles. Not just those that he performs in scriptures, but start trying to see the little daily miracles in your life. Don't write them off. Don't dismiss them or try to explain them away, but choose to believe that God is active and alive in the world and in your life, even in small, tiny, imperceptible ways. Believe first that God has the power to do little things, and then maybe your crust will start to crack, your eyes and ears will be opened, and then maybe you will be able to receive the big miracles when they come along. Amen.